Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Good morning. Happy Hump Day, everybody. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. The Odyssey app and YouTube. Got a lot to get to here.
We do.
Still aiming for an NFL guest today, so be on red alert to Omaha.
Hot route. Hot route.
We will Omaha if we need to. Talk a little college football here, because you can always count on college football every weekend.
Yes, you can, unless it's on ESPN and
hold
you got
the line.
YouTube TV.
Hold the line.
You can't count on it anymore.
You know what you can count on?
What can you count on, Brandon?
Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Well done.
You can get the live local NFL game every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
It's a hell of a deal.
We'll talk about the college football playoff rankings. Those came out.
They did.
If you missed any of the first hour, we talked about Tom Brady is probably a villain, like a legitimate villain.
Like an actual villain.
Like he's a guy in a movie that takes off the Tom Brady mask and he's super ugly.
Yeah.
But he's convinced people that his mask is who he is. He's cloned his dog.
It's not normal.
And I will be in the opinion of that's a big red flag to me.
He needs to be stopped. We need to stop Tom Brady at all costs.
It's a good poll question. Do we need to stop Tom Brady at all costs?
He's going
to
ruin society somehow, some way. He's going to do something that we can't come back from.
We did have a listener admit they'd probably clone their dog if given the opportunity.
Yeah, and he acknowledged, I understand the next dog could be a total ass, but I just love the look. It was a Rottweiler that he loved, and he wanted the same dog.
One of a kind Rottweiler.
One of a kind Rottweiler. He wanted the same dog. Each their own.
But we start the second hour on a Wednesday, as we do every week. We got to do the dirty pull.
The dirty pull.
All the men and women in my life, they're like, hey, man, I can't wait for that Wednesday hump day. Dirty pull.
It's a record-breaking segment. Wins us all of our macaroni awards.
Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. We got our first college football playoff rankings. And we won't get into that in this segment. But we will be able to comp Dirt's top 12 with the committee's top 12, finally.
Yes.
God forbid they do this at the beginning of the year so we know where their biases are at.
Well, they can't hang their hat on the door until November.
They don't have any metrics. They don't have strength of record.
They have to have strength of record to determine where a team should be ranked.
Build up so there's a critical mass of data to provide quality information.
How did strength of record work out with A&M and Ohio State? Didn't seem to play a big enough factor.
No, A&M has by far and away the biggest strength of record, and they were ranked number 3 last night, but I digress. I thought that was the new metric we're leaning on.
I don't think they were leaning on it, but they're supposed to use it, and I don't know. But we'll get to that. What is the top 12 dirty pull this week?
I will tell you, of all the weeks that I've done this, 10 through 12 was the most muddy and convoluted that it's ever been. I struggled with where to go 10 through 12. What matters? Head-to-head, who you've lost to, who you've beaten, your overall record. There was a lot that went into this, okay? Number 12, making their return to the dirty pole for the first time in a very long time. Now, it is not based on what happened this past weekend, because this past weekend, it was not pretty. They were in a dogfight going into the fourth quarter. It's on the road. It's a conference game. Not going to kill you from one down week. It certainly was that for them. They now have a nice quality rank win under their belt. After the CFP rankings came out last night, we know one of the teams that they beat more than ranked. Notre Dame is playing very, very good football right now, outside of the first two quarters of Saturday's game at Boston College. I like C.J. Carr in the way that he's playing. Mm-hmm. You look back at the games that they lost at the start of the year, they were by a combined, 4 points, I believe, a field goal to Miami and a point to Texas A&M. I think that was 41-40. Mm-hmm. Their win over USC is a double-digit win over a ranked team at home, which is a nice one to hang your hat on. Currently, Notre Dame back in the dirty pole at number 12. Number 11 is a team that I tried to kill, and I have now acknowledged I can't kill them. I'm only going to ride the wave from here on out. It doesn't make any sense to me. It has come out of total nowhere. They went all the way on the way. We talk a lot about Big Ten teams traveling, you know, two time zones away. How can you handle it? How can you survive? This team had to go East Coast to West Coast last week and play a game. And I thought for certain that they were going to lose that game. And they didn't lose that game. Virginia comes in at number 11 for me. The interesting
about
part
time
about them.
You stop hating on UVA.
Look, I've learned
they've
my lesson. They have earned it, even though it was 22-20
they
over Washington State.
Shut up.
And 17-16 over North Carolina. The biggest one for them, honestly, is the head-to-head stuff is tough for me, and I think every head-to-head example is a little bit different. We'll get to that in a little bit when we talk about the CFP rankings. Their win over Louisville is their best win, because I think Louisville's playing really good football right now, and that game is not that far in the rearview mirror. That was only, what, 3-4 weeks ago before their Washington State game that they beat Louisville, and they beat them on the road. And so Virginia is undefeated in the ACC. They are the only remaining undefeated ACC team in the conference. Virginia comes in at number 11. Number 10, I'm not burying them yet. I know that the resume isn't great. This is more a belief of the coach and the quarterback. And I predicted their loss last weekend. I thought it was going to happen on the road. Their defense has been a little leaky. If you're looking for an encouraging sign, their quarterback threw for 408 yards, which is not something that he's known to do. He's more known as a runner. I still have Georgia Tech inside my top 10. I'm not going to punish you for losing a game at this time of the year and then allow you to get away with winning or losing a game early in the year. I think that's dumb. All losses should be created equal. If Georgia Tech loses that game and then wins 8 games in a row, wow, They're probably ranked higher last night, so I'm not going to overreact to one game. They got 2 massive games left on their schedule. They get Pitt, who is inside the CFP top 25, in a couple of weeks, and then they close their season, of course, in their in-state rivalry at home this year, and they damn near beat Georgia last year in Athens. I got Georgia Tech at number 10.
The first three teams are ACC teams.
All ACC. It's an ACC. Well, kind of. One of them is ACC adjacent. Okay.
One's been having an affair with the ACC.
They have been. They've been sleeping around. They have a pineapple on the front porch in South Bend. We all know that. Number 9 is a team that I thought was going to lose this last weekend, and they impressed the hell out of me. I know that the opponent that they beat is not the team that maybe we thought it was at the start of the year. The way Texas Tech went in, started slow at Kansas State, and then just steamrolled them in the second half. Kansas State's been playing better football as of late.
They were losing at halftime.
They were losing it. I don't know if they were losing it. I think they ended up taking the lead 12-7 at the half, but they were losing the majority of the first half. And then just blitzed. I mean, it was 31-7 in the second half in Manhattan, Kansas. And what does Texas Tech have this week? Their big showdown game against BYU. That was the epitome of a look-ahead spot. They started slow. They finished strong. Texas Tech's only loss on the year is to Arizona State on the road with their backup quarterback. They have a dominant win over Utah that is still on their resume and looks very good based on the standings and rankings, the win they came out last night. I have Texas Tech at number 9. Number 8 is the only undefeated team left in the Big 12. And again, they have a massive game this upcoming weekend. They're off of a bye. I can't wait to see how they handle it. The game is in Lubbock, I believe, right? I think it's on the road. I got BYU at number 8. They didn't play this past weekend. They were off. BYU number 8. Number 7 in the dirty poll. There's a team that was at home, sitting around, not doing much this past weekend, waiting for their pivotal game. It looks like in bad weather again, and we'll talk about that today.
Yeah.
Nothing to talk about with them. I have Oregon at number 7 in the dirty poll.
Wow, bias here.
Yeah, a little home cooking bias. Number 6 is another team that I put on upset alert, and they impressed me with just how emphatic the win was. Now, the game was at home. The way that they ran the ball to me was the story of this game, and it was not a letdown spot in the least. Ole Miss was coming off a nice win on the road against Oklahoma the week previous. They had to go on the road to Georgia. That's a tough 3-week stretch, and they came home and they played South Carolina, and the game was never competitive. They ran away from it. It's a nice SEC win. They get a bye with the Citadel at home this weekend before closing with Florida and Mississippi State. Massive game for them, and they almost feel like a shoe-in to go to the playoff at this point. I got Ole Miss at number 6. And then the top 5 is unchanged. Georgia number 5, Alabama number 4, A&M number 3, Indiana number 2, and Ohio State number 1 in this week's Dirty Poll. I didn't think you need explanations on any of those 5.
You said Indiana 3?
Indiana 2. Texas A&M 3, A&M, Indiana 2, Ohio State number 1.
So you also have Ohio State 1.
I do. It's a balance of...
I do. I'm not mad at Ohio State being 1. No. I know you can comp resumes, but...
If you told me you wanted to rank Indiana 1, if you wanted to rank A&M 1, I'm not batting an eye at any of that.
I'm not mad at that.
They also just... I mean, part of it is for them. It's not the resume, although now we have to, I guess, give credit to the Texas win because they're all of a sudden the top 12 team again. It's more about just the way that they look and how emphatic it was. Although that game was competitive in the first half, credit to Penn State, and then they ran away with it the way that they should in the second half. What's the big critique this week? What do we got?
I don't know if I have a big critique. I'm more kind of curious. And
10 through 12, it was difficult. Where does Oklahoma fall in there?
Not how
do you
those three.
How do you handle the Notre Dame Miami scenario? Because they played each other. That game happened
long
in my
ago.
It counted long, though. Yeah. You only get 12 of them, and it counted.
Well, you clearly don't care. You clearly agree with me.
This is what I'm saying though. That's why it was very complicated. Yeah. It was a difficult 10-12 this week.
So you
top
almost
nine
had,
were easy.
You almost had Miami above Notre Dame.
That's
what you toyed with.
I wrestled with it greatly. Yeah.
Why did you not give Louisville that same consideration?
Over who?
Well, they should be above Miami.
They are. Louisville is for sure. It's not just about Notre Dame Miami. I'm just saying that 10-12 stretch is just difficult, and the head to heads should count when there's a similar record. Louisville is ranked ahead of Miami in my book because they're a 1-loss team and Miami's a 2-loss team.
Yeah. I don't really have a whole lot of gripe. I mean, you have a couple teams at numbers versus the committee had different teams at different numbers. I'm more kind of curious. You said Ole Miss is almost a shoe-in.
Yeah.
How many teams would you label shoe-in on your 12?
Ohio State's a shoe-in. Indiana's a shoe-in. I feel like Ole Miss is there, and maybe it's too early for them.
So your six, your three, your four, and your five teams are not, but your sixth team is?
I think it depends on how the rest of the season goes, right? Do you think Alabama's going to steamroll LSU this weekend? Because I think that's a competitive
steamroll,
game.
I'm not going to use the term steamroll. Sure, do I think they can win? Yeah,
well, of course they can win, but there's also the chance that they lose that game, and if they lose that game, then all of a sudden you're thinking, all right, Oklahoma probably not going to beat them in Tuscaloosa.
Two-loss Alabama's getting in.
Two-loss Alabama's getting in.
So do you think?
And then you go to
loss.
Auburn at the end of the season, and you have to play the Iron Bowl. And let's not sit here and act like they didn't almost lose that game without a 4th-31 2 years ago with Nick Saban,
weird.
Right?
It's so a weird game.
That's why I'm just not quite there. I think a lot of it has to do with who's left on your schedule and who you're playing. Ole Miss remaining games: they play the Citadel, then they get Florida at home, and then they play Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And Florida beat them last year, but that game was in the swamp. This year they get them at home. Hmm. If they lose one of those, then maybe we can have that debate. Is their resume good enough? Because the LSU win doesn't look the way that it did when they beat them.
Ohio State, Indiana, Ole Miss. Anybody else?
Fascinating if you say your 1, 2, and 6 ranked teams of your top 12 are your only shoe-ins. I think that's all I got right now is my only shoe-ins. A&M is pretty damn close because they're undefeated, and so they have a lot of wiggle room.
They're going to get some grace.
You get at Missouri this weekend, home against South Carolina, home against Samford, and then at Texas, so probably in with 2 losses. So A&M I'd probably throw in there as well as a 10-2 team. Outside of that, like Georgia's got a dogfight on their hands multiple times.
Georgia was in a dogfight with Florida this weekend.
They were. They get Texas at home in 2 weeks, and then they get Georgia Tech, who they almost lost to.
Okay.
Oregon, we know, has 3 pivotal games left on their schedule. Hmm. BYU was undefeated late in the year, and then their season kind of crumbled. Is 2 losses in the Big 12 good enough with their resume? So I don't know if anybody else should feel like a shoe-in outside of a small number of teams, which means the month of November is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, let's comp your top 12 to the College Football Playoff Committee's top 12. They released their first set of rankings yesterday. Let's dive into that coming up next. Hour number 2 is alive and on a roll right now, and we're going to keep that momentum going into the next segment. College football conversation during Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The poll question is up. The committee gave us their first rankings last night. We just got the dirty poll. Which poll more accurately represents where Oregon should be ranked? The committee at 9
or the Dirty Poll at 7.
Ha-ha.
You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. The committee released their college football playoff rankings. I did not see this live because I'm holding the line.
I didn't either. I don't even know if I had the ability to watch it, but I didn't even try. But I don't want to feed the beast on this.
Well, I'll also be honest with you. We talk a lot of college football in this program. We do love the playoff. I don't actually enjoy that show.
No.
That show's not for me. The debating, the yelling at each other. It's the first set of rankings. Half these teams might fall out of this. So
none of it ends up mattering.
I'm more just kind of curious to see where and how they're gauging all of this.
Yeah. What metrics are they using? What's important to them?
Yeah, so their rankings came out yesterday. And what's weird about it is you got to remember a group of six teams going to be involved here. So their top 12 isn't the 12 playoff teams.
No, for the playoff it will not be.
That would be Memphis.
Yes.
Memphis is their group of six teams, so that'd be a 12-5. Now, here's the playoff committee ranking.
What happens, by the way, if the highest-ranked group of six champ is unranked? Does anybody know the answer to that?
It's whoever gets the most votes, I think.
Okay.
So whoever gets
the
most
votes. Do they vote on the CFP rankings outside of the top 25? Is there, like, an also receivings vote category?
I think last night they told us Memphis is the team we think the most of
the
group of six.
I'm just asking, like, if they are to lose and then somebody else, and it's like a 9-3 group of six team, it's not. Maybe they just slip them in to slip them in to avoid this problem.
It'll be a conference champion.
It could be.
That's going to piss a lot of commissioners and people off. Like, an 8-4 group of six team gets in this thing.
That's the new push of people saying, like, should you have to actually be ranked in order to get the automatic bid?
Yeah, I will kind of just die on the hill here. And you can say, well, it's because of where you went to school. I think it's great to give a David a shot at Goliath. They're never going to beat those teams, but give them a shot.
I don't care if Oklahoma misses the playoff. I'm all right.
I don't either. here is the committee's rankings. This is their top 12 teams, not group six. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Bama, Georgia. So your top five are exactly the same. So is Ole Miss at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's where it differs. You had Oregon 7. They've got BYU at 7.
Yep.
Texas Tech is 8. Oregon comes in at 9.
How dare they?
Notre Dame 10. Texas number 11. And Oklahoma is number 12 with Utah, Virginia, and Louisville just behind them, 3 spots.
Yeah, look, I didn't watch last night because I'm just reminded of how stupid this entire thing is, that we have to deal with a room of old people deciding where teams should be ranked based on differing metrics and different schedules, and I can't stand the entire process, and it's a made-for-TV event that ESPN milks for eyeballs and viewership, and I'm out on the entire thing, and I want automatic qualifiers, and I will die on that hill, that it's exactly what the sport needs to get away from all of this nonsense. And instead of talking about where you're ranked, we're talking about where you're at in the conference standings and who's left and how do you get into a certain spot in your conference in order to get one of those automatic bids, and it's all settled on the field. I can't stand the entire process. That being said, any Oregon fan who's upset with them being ranked number 9 needs to take a deep breath, buddy. Currently speaking, they do not have a top 25 win. Now, I give them more credit than probably the committee is for winning on the road at Penn State. That's probably the biggest difference between us, where I know Penn State season has collapsed and they have not had the year that we all thought they were going to at the start of the year. I also think a part of the reason their season collapsed was because they lost the game to Oregon. And if they were to win that game, I don't know if their season follows through the same exact way. Maybe it does. It's a butterfly fleck. We'll never be able to prove it. That's probably the biggest difference of I'm giving them credit for that win. And their only loss was a game in which they were tied at home in the fourth quarter to the number 2 ranked team in the country. So it's not like you have a bad loss on your resume. Now, they certainly didn't play up to their standard in that game, and it was not perfect. That was a 20-20 game with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against the number 2 team in the country. So I'm not quite as critical on their resume, but if you're upset at them being number 9, all I would say is they have a chance to prove it. I was ranked number 20.
Yeah, they got a top 20 matchup.
USC is number 19, and Washington is number 23. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance that USC is not going to lose a game going into that when you play them. There's a decent chance that Washington is not going to lose a game going into the game when you play them. So all of this will be settled on the field. It doesn't matter that they were ranked number 9 last night.
Here is the CFP chair, Mac Rhodes, on Oregon coming in at number 9.
Where their record strength stood at 19, and they don't have a quality win up to this point in time. You know, conversely, their one loss was to a 2-ranked, Indiana team, a really good Indiana team. That was a close game. 6 minutes left in the, 6:23 in the fourth quarter. Indiana went up by 7, if I remember correctly. That was that was the conversation. Like, I mean, man, Oregon looks really good, and we know they're really good, but there's just not, you know, a quality win yet. And so, you know, Oregon's going to have some remaining games left, and we're going to find out, you know, how good Oregon is.
So if you went to the committee's rankings, because they're the ones that actually dictate the playoff, not yes. the dirty poll, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, not.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I don't have that power, unfortunately.
You want that power.
I would love that power. I'd take that power.
You imagine your mentions if it was solely up to you to make the playoff.
Oh, God, it'd be glorious.
You'd have to, like, mute everything you send out.
I'd delete social media. I'd just have just cook up my polls and then release them to the websites.
So it'd be this. Memphis is the highest, most respected group of six team. I don't even want to say ranked because they're unranked, but Memphis is their group of six pick. So your 12-5 is Memphis, Georgia in Athens. The winner of that would take on Bama. And then your 11-6 is Virginia, Ole Miss. The winner of that plays A&M, excuse me. And then Notre Dame is your 10-7 with BYU. In Provo, that winner takes on Indiana.
Be a fun game.
Oregon at Texas Tech.
Hey.
With the winner getting to take on everybody's favorite down here, Ohio State.
Hey. Love how that shakes out. That sounds like a lot of fun. Bring on the tortillas again.
Who's more pissed, Bama having to get Georgia in their first playoff game or Oregon having to get Ohio State in their first playoff game?
Probably Georgia having to get Bama, because they also have a bit of a problem that they can't beat Alabama no matter who the coach is. They just got an issue there unless a receiver gets hurt in the national title game. They can't beat Alabama. It's really weird.
I think Texas Tech is a really good football team. Oregon at Texas Tech would be fascinating.
It'd be a great game, dude. That'd be a lot of fun.
Your matchup would have Georgia Tech in Eugene.
Yes, it would.
Which, look, styles make fights.
Haynes King running the ball a ton.
Got a lot of respect for that Georgia Tech team. I think I'd like that for Oregon, but
I would too at
home. Who the hell knows? But it's a home game in Eugene, so that would be fun if the Dirty Poll ends up being right. But right now, Oregon is slated to be a road playoff team.
Dirt, is it more important for the Ducks to get in the top eight and get a home game? No matter,
I'm not even worried. I'm just worried about winning games.
Make it, right?
I'm just worried about making it and winning games. I get the point, and having a home playoff game would be awesome. And that
are you more
idea
worried
is great.
About matchup, or are you more worried about getting a home playoff?
I'm more
game?
Worried about Iowa this weekend. Okay. That's where my mindset is at right now. Let's go win in Kinnick, and then we'll have that conversation, because we can do this all the time. If Oregon loses this weekend, it's a moot point. Do we think they're going to win out? Maybe they do.
Well, that was the thing that I saw. The committee's like, they need to put a little bit more on the resume. If they have a loss, two losses, and it's
the hard part is not knowing what the picture looks like and how many other teams lose. Yeah. Does Georgia lose another game? Does Texas Tech lose twice?
Sure.
Right? There's a lot that's unplayed there.
There is, and you know, I think the first couple years we had this thing, you and I, we probably way overreacted to the first set of rankings. I'm not really emotional about any of this, but to Swag's point, I don't know how all of it plays out with everybody. We can play the hypothetical game till we can't talk anymore. Right now, I think what the ranking says is you went out, you control your destiny. You lose, and you're putting up the fates of the playoffs in a lot of other teams' hands. And I don't know if that'll work or not, but
no, it's not guaranteed.
To me, I think this says the committee saying, so far, Oregon, you get two losses, you're on a bubble, and you might not be in the bubble.
Yeah, that's definitely a takeaway from last night. They're going to have their opportunities with ranked wins the rest of the way. I was glad to see Iowa ranked in the top 20. Them not being in the AP top 25 is just stupid. Iowa's got two losses by a combined, 7 or 8 points on the year, and they're playing really good football right now. Like, them not being ranked is stupid in the AP, so I was glad to see that rectified.
It's the first set, and we know that the overall SEC Big Ten gets the most treatment. I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised how much respect they kind of given to the Big 12 and ACC in this first set of rankings.
Yeah, they're not killing
BYU,
those conferences.
Texas Tech in it.
Yep.
You got Utah just on the outside looking in at 13. Not the Big 12 fault, but they should have Texas, Oklahoma included in that, but they're not because they're in the SEC now. It's stupid.
Big 12 would be nice. Well, and then they wouldn't get Utah out of that deal, but see your point.
But in the ACC, you've got Virginia just on the outside looking in. You've got BYU right there. Louisville has a ton of respect. Like,
yep.
The ACC and the Big 12, we don't think it's a great conference. I understand why we feel that way.
But they're in the mix.
But they're all right there in the mix with like three teams.
The only one that honestly bothered me, and this is going to sound funny, I'm curious, what did you think the one that bothered me the most was?
The team at 11? It's ridiculous.
See, now that's a part of what bothered me, but it's not the main reason why I was bothered. I do think Texas being ranked at 11 is stupid.
Is it 25?
It is not 25. Okay, it's actually 18, and I feel really dirty saying this. I understand the head-to-head stuff's complicated, and in the dirty poll, we just went over this. I have Notre Dame ranked ahead of Miami despite the fact that they played on the field. Them being ranked 8 spots behind Notre Dame is laughable, and I'm not the big Mario guy, and I'm not a big Miami guy. Can you?
I thought you were going to go the other way. They shouldn't be ranked.
No, can you explain to me why Utah's ranked 6 spots ahead of Miami? What's Utah's best win this year?
Well, that's a good question.
Cincinnati from last week?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, where's where's Cincinnati ranked currently?
They're not.
Oh, okay. Got it.
They narrowly lost to BYU.
How did the Texas Tech game go on hold?
They did trounce Arizona State.
They did, with Jeff Sims playing, by the way. It was not their starting quarterback.
The Texas
quarterback.
Tech game was...
They got smoked at home. Yeah, and Texas Tech's backup quarterback had to play a chunk of that game.
They had
game.
Like 5 turnovers in that game.
I'm not a Mario guy. I'm not a Miami guy. They have a head-to-head win over Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. One of those group of 6 darlings was South Florida. You know, part of the reason they're not in the mix anymore is because Miami killed them.
Yeah.
Florida beat Texas, who's ranked number 11. Miami beat Florida. Their 2 losses are to teams who were in the mix in the ACC. Louisville's a 1-loss team, and SMU's only a 1-loss conference team who might be in the ACC title game at the end of the year, and they were last year. They don't have a blowout loss. They don't have one that you look at and say, that's a 3-9 bad team. I hate Mario Cristobal, and I'm not rooting in any way, shape, or form for Miami. You cannot look me in the eye and tell me you can have Notre Dame ranked 8 spots higher than Miami when they played on a field and they won the game. I get that it was a long time ago. We only get 12 of these, dude. Do week 1 games just don't count anymore? We still like that's it's week 1. It doesn't count. It's a preseason now. That game counted. It's on the record. Notre Dame has 1 ranked win. And again, I'm okay if you want to say, you know what, right now they're playing better. Cool. Right now they have a ranked win. I'm going to give them a slight edge. I did in the dirty poll. But to have an 8 spot difference between Notre Dame and Miami is laughable.
Well, I think for them, they would just tell you you're splitting hairs. There's not really a gap there between 13 and 18 for all what you're saying. I find interesting, why is... Like, how do you separate Georgia Tech and Virginia?
Yeah, both 1-loss teams.
You know they're both losses against?
NC State.
NC State.
Yep. Virginia has a win over Louisville, and that's probably what's propping them up in their minds.
No, what happened was Georgia Tech just lost their first game.
That's a huge part of it.
It's all about timing of this stuff.
When you lose.
Is a little frustrating.
If Notre Dame had just lost to Miami this weekend, does anybody think that they would be ranked behind them or ahead of them? Of course not.
No.
So why is it? And again, I understand that that's not always a cut and dry. You win, you're ranked higher. I understand that. Hmm. An eight team gap. Why is Oklahoma ranked ahead of Miami?
I mean, SEC, baby.
They got smoked by Texas. Yeah. What's their best win? Tennessee?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, Tennessee. A 3-loss Tennessee team who might end up being
a top 25 Tennessee.
Of course it is, because we got to have 6-3 Tennessee ranked in the back half of the top 25. We can't have 6-3 Tennessee outside the top 25.
They did bully around Michigan. I know that game was close, but they did physically push them around.
Michigan's an okay team
this year.
That was
also week 2.
It was week 2 with a freshman quarterback, and it's also Michigan's fine this year. Michigan's a decent team. That was the one that I'm not the big Miami Mario guy. We all know that. We don't need to go over the history. But that I laughed out loud when I saw that they were ranked 18th and Notre Dame was 10th. Why even play the games?
I didn't think you'd be hot and bothered today, and here you are.
I knew there would be one that would do
you.
It. I knew there was one in the rank. Texas is adjacent to that because Texas
all about when you lose.
Being 7 spots ahead of Miami. Sure, like, dude, they were down 17 2 weeks ago to one of the worst Power 4 teams in the country.
I know, but it's about when you lose versus who you beat.
They had like 170 total yards of offense at Kentucky. Stop it with the Texas. That's adjacent to the Miami thing.
We have a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague back with more. All right, Dirt's cooled down. We had to give him a little bit of cold water down the back.
Hose me off during the commercial break. It feels really weird defending Mario in Miami.
I mean, also, it's 13 and 18. Who cares? Neither of those teams are making the playoffs.
People care.
The biggest takeaway is Miami is not making the playoffs.
No, I mean, no.
They need
even if they win
four
out.
Miracles to happen for them, and they can't win road games.
Because they're on the outside looking into the... It's not like they have an automatic qualifier position either, because they're not going to the ACC title game.
So it's
going to
be another year, Mario. No playoffs.
Yeah.
You say what you want about Dan Lanning in Oregon and where they're ranked, and should they be home? Should they be on the road? Like, quality wins. You know who's not worried right now, going in at least to the weekend?
Yeah.
They're in the rankings.
We'll see how Monday comes. Well, we say Monday, but yeah, if you win on Saturday, you're doing all right.
We have a play-by-play cut I want to play for you. This is from the Chicago Sports Network. I love good audio. So last night, this is going to also be stinking it up, so it's going to go right into the report after the segment.
Look at the synergy here.
There is synergy. The Bulls played the Sixers. Okay? Came down to the wire. We had a game-winning shot by Vucevic.
I saw the highlight.
They call him Vucci Man.
Vucci Man. Are the Bulls streets. Good this year?
They're 6-1.
Are they? Is it like a real 6-1? Are we like buying at 6-1?
Somebody reminded me.
Is this the Colts? Are we like waiting? Do we need more evidence? How long until we buy the Bulls?
Well, Swag makes a good point. The East is so bad that maybe this is, you're comfortable saying the Bulls are really good. The Wizards were 5-2 to start last year.
Who are the best teams in the Eastern Conference right now?
Well, I have to go look at the updated
The Bulls probably.
Now.
I would imagine at 6-1 are in the mix.
So right now, the Bulls and Sixers
are 1-2. The Pistons are 3. The Bucks are 4. The Heat are 5. The Knicks are 6.
Oh.
And then you've got Cavs, Raps, Hawks, Magic.
Oh, Desmond Bane train not working out? Can I dunk on that one yet? I got to wait on that one? I'll wait.
No,
I won't do that yet.
You could dunk on it. It's off to a horrific start.
It's only 8 games in. We got a long ways to go.
He was ejected last night. He threw a ball at a guy.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that.
They got weird team chemistry, too.
Okay. It takes a while to kind of mold the new guys in.
Anyways, big one tilt yesterday between the Bulls and the Sixers, a game that everybody was running to their TVs to watch on League Pass.
I mean, how do you not? Glued to it.
You know what I love the most? Danny does this a little bit. I used to do this. I love the best League Pass teams to watch, and I kind of laugh when I hear that now. Nobody gets League Pass. So, like,
now with Blazer Vision, can I watch anybody else, or am I only Blazers allowable there?
You've only paid for the Blazers Vision.
I gotta get the extra pass to get the extra games.
It's not called Blazer Raptor Vision.
It should
be.
You
know what I mean?
They should do combo platters, you know? Like,
do you want
two servings
up
of orange chicken?
Teams?
You get two different servings. I don't want to buy the whole league, but I want to buy two teams.
Ooh, let me ask you guys this. Maybe we do this more for the NFL because it's where people are more at. If you had to buy a league pass in a sport, what three teams in basketball would you choose, and what three teams in the NFL would you choose?
Oh, good question. Like, those are the only games. I would have to take, I got to watch my Herbert games. I want the Chargers on there.
Okay, so you got the Chargers. You definitely don't choose the Seahawks. They're forced down our throats every week.
Yeah, so your theory is the games that you don't normally get on television. Is that kind of your thought
process
here?
Just to guarantee you can watch their games every time unless they're
like,
on prime time.
Then I would stay away from like the Bills and the Chiefs because I feel like they're always airing on national television.
Okay.
The standalone game on a CBS, if you will, right? Like if I didn't have a red zone option.
Huge viewership numbers for that
I'd go
game,
Chargers. Anyway. I'd go Lions. I want to watch Man Campbell. They're fun. I know they didn't play well this weekend.
Did you watch standalone Vikings Lions? Because it was on Fox.
I did not watch standalone Vikings Lions.
So you want access to watch it. They gave it to you. You didn't watch it.
I know. The 10 a.m. slate was decent this weekend, though. God, 13?
You don't dabble in the red zone and the standalone.
I don't, no. I just go. I sometimes will turn the red zone off completely. I did that in the afternoon window.
I split screen Niners and Lions and then still did red zone, but I find red zone gets ahead of my TV.
That's why I can't do it.
So it ruins the next play.
That's exactly why I don't do it. Yeah. So I just turn the red zone off in the 1 o'clock window because I didn't care about Rams and Saints and what was the other one? Jags and Raiders. I didn't watch a second. I didn't care. I just watched all Chiefs Bills. Third team?
That's tough.
This one's challenging, man.
Imagine how challenging the NBA one is.
Oh, God. I couldn't even tell you half the players on half the teams. You know what? What the hell? Give me New England. Give me New England and Drake May. I'm all in. And I hate to say it, but I'm all in.
You're so gross.
I know. I feel good.
Here is the call. Vucevic's game-winning three.
Giddy races to the basket. Fires it out. Vucevic, the shot. Vucevic for three. Vucevic May steps up again. The grizzled veteran. Steps up and hits the biggest shot of the season. Oh, my goodness. Elizabeth, I'm coming again, Elizabeth. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's the big one, Elizabeth. The cardiac bulls again. Just when you think you see a flat line, there's a pulse. Pulse, baby. Woo!
That was Stacey King, Chicago Sports Network. He's coming again, Elizabeth. This is the big one.
Does Swag know the reference?
It's in his sweet spot.
It should be in your sweet spot. Because I had no clue. I saw the clip last night. I'm like, we got to play that on the show tomorrow.
No, you got to think about the way he delivered the line. Obviously, that sounds like a sexual reference to
He's
Elizabeth.
He's not talking about his wife at home, Elizabeth.
No.
Got
to think about a guy in a chair leaning back, grabbing his chest. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming. I'm coming home. No. Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a reference to the show. He's a big fan of the show, but
I'm glad I now know that because I saw this last night and I thought, who the hell is Elizabeth? Yeah. This is a big load. What are we talking about in Chicago right now? You're high on your bowls. I get it, but man, what?
Dude, 6-1.
Got a load for you?
I'm feeling the same way.
What's happening?
I am starting to feel sexual about that.
Can we get this from Lamar Hurd? Can we drop one of these if we beat the Thunder tonight?
I give...
Lamar, if you're listening, help us out tonight.
Calabro's more likely to have the Samford and Son reference than Lamar.
That's a good point.
Yeah, what...
Lamar in his sweet spot.
Lamar lays out for these calls.
Elizabeth! Well, Kevin, calm down, man. Calm down.
Kevin's like, Lamar, I'm coming, baby. What?
Calabro's more likely to give some Mr. Roper references.
It's a great broadcast. Can you just imagine Lamar's awkward, like, what are you talking about, dude?
What?
Crab puts his hand over the mic. What?
What is that?
Why did you say that?
That was really weird.
We're on live TV, Kevin.
Very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm coming home. I'm coming. Oh. 6-1. It's got people feeling away.
Here come the Bulls.
Here come the Bulls.
Look out for the Bulls.
Are the Bulls a team we need to be good in our lives?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. It's an all-time great logo. Great logo. It was one decade, but no, I don't feel that way.
It was a pretty long decade for everybody
else. It was a long decade.
If you need a team to hate...
Have the Bulls ever been relevant outside of that? Maybe the Baby Bulls? We had a year of the Baby Bulls.
Yeah, they got to an East Finals.
That.
I guess Derrick Rose.
Yeah,
they had the Derrick Rose run. They did, but that was like 4 years, and then his shredded his knee, and he was gone.
How many years have we been as relevant as that Bulls team was?
I'm never going to sit here and argue we're relevant in any way, shape, or form.
It's been a long time for us.
We've never been relevant.
Before all that, before Jordan got there, they were kind of middling.
Mm. They were known for having a bunch of drug users on their team in the 1980s.
They were terrible when they
had Jordan.
Yes. They were not good when
And then he retired and they did nothing 70s. For 15
I remember
years.
They were a problem because they had Artis Gilmore, who was a big 7'4" nasty center who had just an all-time fro.
Talk about a real throwback. Bulls, Sixers, Pistons are your top three East teams today.
Feeling good about my Pistons Eastern Conference final pick.
I'm feeling good about my Bucks and my Spurs conference finals
picks. Detroit basketball, baby.
Because right now the Spurs are the 2 seed.
Look at that little round ball rock check-in.
Only undefeated team, the Thunder.
In town tonight?
Yeah.
Hey, bring it on.
Will they rest and load manage? Probably. Will they still win by 15?
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me.
So when you play the night before, I'm curious how long you have, because they have not put an injury report in yet. I don't know when they're required to when you play the night before.
The other day, I should say, we left the show thinking Luka Doncic was going to play, and then we found out in the middle of the afternoon Luka Doncic was not playing.
Because there's usually very strict, specific rules about when you have to file an injury report, but if you play the night before, I don't know when they are.
Hmm.
Great call, Stacey King. He's coming. He's coming, Elizabeth.
Look out, Elizabeth.
This one's a big one.
It's a big one.
He has to be toying with the sexual nature of that comment.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
It's a reference, but it's also like, I'm be able to say this because I'll just cite Sanford and Son, but I'm going to toy with that all night. Bulls 6-1. A lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a lot to get into today. Show's just rolling on. 7:53. We're already kind of against it.
Stacey King's fault.
When Stacey King's coming, you and Elizabeth just need to watch out.
You gotta keep your head on a swivel, man. You gotta be prepared for that.
We don't have, we had Eric Collins. He was once on our show. We did an interview with him. He is the Hornet guy. He did a Fox game with Panthers Miami a couple weeks back.
It was phenomenal because that game sucked, and he made it very entertaining.
You know how the media can be a little, I think the reputation I would say is like stuffy?
Yes.
There's still a lot of people, I think our local people subscribe to this. You still have to wear a shirt and a tie and a jacket, and you have to look away.
Yeah.
despite
to be professional and buttoned up.
Right. Despite literally all the evidence of the most popular people just wearing T-shirts or tank tops or
we're calling a basketball game,
coming in with a dip in and still like, doing a show.
You'll be all right.
We still get local news directors that are like, you must wear a shirt and tie and do gel in your hair. And it's like, I don't think, do you watch anything?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get more broadcasters throughout our life that start to have that?
I do. I think we're going to start to have more personality, and I'm here for it. Sports are fun. It's entertainment. This is why I'm a big Joe Tessitore guy. I know Gus Johnson isn't for everybody. I want to be entertained. It's like not the 1940s anymore. I don't need a polished up broadcaster voice and welcome, and it's the top of the third inning. I don't need that. I want somebody that's entertaining, that's having fun, that seems like they're genuinely enjoying what they're doing. Sometimes it can go over the top for some people, but when he called that NFL game, Panthers and Dolphins is one of the worst NFL games of the season. Like, that game sucks. I know that the Panthers are above 500. Nobody cares about the Carolina Panthers. The Dolphins are a dumpster fire. They're going to bench their quarterback. They're going to fire their coach. They already fired their GM. They suck. And every time that game showed up on the red zone, you know what I did? I thought, yeah, this is kind of a fun game. Every time there was a highlight of it, I thought, I'm having fun with Panthers and Dolphins right now, and I never thought that I would, and it was all because of him and the way he was calling
it. Collins sounded like he was happy screaming.
Yes.
Like crying, screaming, but happy.
Yes.
That's how he calls his basketball games, like when Rico Dowdle would rush for 15 yards.
Rico! Have fun, man. You're calling a Panthers game. The Panthers suck. They've been irrelevant forever.
I think, this is Eric. If you don't know or you're not familiar, this is Eric Collins. He is the Hornets play-by-play guy on a full-term basis. This is what he sounds like.
Oh, he does pass it. Campazzo. Yeah, Porter is just relocating. What an offensive weapon.
Oh, that wasn't a good highlight.
Is that what we have on this? That cannot be.
Why is that saved in the system?
Why is
he's never made a free throw as a pro, but he has now. I love Leaky.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. That's good stuff.
That's a free throw.
I want that.
That's, yeah.
Entertain me.
I'm with you.
Sports are entertaining.
I'm with you there.
Just buttoned up. I have to wear a suit and tie. I'll talk in my broadcaster voice and welcome back.
What, Gillis has made the joke about the old-timey, like when white people stopped being cocky and cool was when Jackie Robinson hit the home run.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately curious in the archives of sports broadcasting, when did white people stop...
Coming up to bat number five.
John Madden.
John Madden?
This is why we love John Madden. Boom.
If you want to be honest, yeah, John Madden.
He was entertaining, and we love entertaining.
No, I'm talking in that voice, though.
Yeah, that's more.
When did they stop talking like this?
You're thinking more like the play-by-play guy. Like, yeah. When did the play-by-play guy drop that dropping?
Because nobody talked like that.
Vin Scully?
I would say Joe Davis still hasn't dropped it.
I mean, Vin just had his own voice.
You think Vin was the first to get people to go, oh, that guy's not doing a fake performative voice?
Yeah, Vin just talked.
Or were they really going to get beers after baseball games? I'll have a Bud Light. I want a Bud Light right now, see? Nobody was... You got any
Get
peanuts?
Me two drinks, please. I'd like two drinks, please. I'm sounding like an auctioneer now.
There's no way they were talking like that.
Joe Davis still does. He sounded like his dog died every time the Blue Jays hit a home run. Yeah, we have an unbiased guy calling the World Series.
Joe Davis does kind of deepen...
John Smoltz, big moment! Thanks, John. I didn't know the ninth inning of Game 7 of the World Series is a big moment. Banner broadcast, Fox. Well done. I digress.
Big fan of that broadcast,
big
I can fan
tell. Of that, big fan of that broadcast.
Are Romo and Smoltz the same person?
Yes, at least Romo's mildly energetic. There's zero energy with John Smoltz. He sounds like he's comatose half the game.
Well, both of them just want to golf the entire time.
This is why we do it. Ninth inning. Bases loaded. Two outs. Big moment. Hey, you're really getting me hyped for this Game 7, John. Thank you for that.
Well, what does it matter if Swag's not watching?
Now, he's already pissed because you're over the clock. Now he's even more pissed again.
Loaded third hour. Dirt and Spray. We got Lucy Burge coming up. She'll be the ticker at 9. We'll talk some more NFL trades, some college football, and whatever else Dirt has around the corner. Status story as well. Third hour. Dirt and Spray. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.